day on this side of life, another opportunity we have to be able to come and serve him. And we're thankful for each of you that you've decided to be here with us. If you're visiting with us for the first time, this is your first time in the house. Can I just see your hand? You don't have to do no speech. We don't do that here. But if you're here for the first time, all right, amen, amen. We welcome you, welcome you, welcome you. Thankful for your presence. On your way out, we got some information, a pamphlet of information to be able to give to you to kind of talk about us. If you have any questions at all about who we are, what we do, what we say, we welcome all questions. And thankful once again for your visit. So something did not upload right. And that's probably operator error right here. Right here. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not made anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I'm going to read verse 4 and 5 one more time. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let's bow in prayer. Father, open our eyes to your word. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. All month long, we've been talking about joy, and once again, the songs we sung today, some of the brother at the table speaking about the same joy, some of the songs that were said, we've been speaking about joy, and not talking about joy as a superficial thing, something that just kind of comes and goes, but true joy, looking at true joy, not just happiness that sometimes is here and gone, but true joy that sustains us even through the tough moments of life. We've talked about the fact that joy is in the midst, even when we're going through chaos and trouble. When we're in confusion, joy is still there. Joy shows up in disappointments. Joy shows up in overlooked lives. And we've looked at different people living different lives and saw how chaotic things were in their lives, and how when Jesus steps into the picture, he gives us that sense of joy, knowing we're not carrying this by ourselves. We're not crazy all by ourselves. Amen. We're not in this chaos all by ourselves. We looked in on Christmas Eve about Emmanuel, God with us. We're going and we're walking through life, but we're not walking through life alone. We're walking through life with God, a God who has experienced the same temptings, the same troubles, and the same confusion that we had, and yet he perfectly overcame them all. And so he identifies with us. God is with us, but he's not a distant God that's with us. He's a God that understands our plight, understands our struggles, and wants to be there for us through it. And one of the themes in the Bible, one of the biblical themes in the Bible that is constantly repeated is this thought of light and darkness. Light and darkness. And we recognize Jesus is that light, but he walks into and steps into a dark world. And this is the reality that the Bible tells us. It doesn't sugarcoat and make it seem like everything's just great and grand. And I know, you know, we've been talking about the Christmas story, and we've got the lights, and we've got the manger, and all the beauty and all that. But the whole purpose of this sermon was to show that beyond all of this, the lights and the glamour and all on the outside, that there's real chaos, real crisis that's going on in the lives of the people who made up this story. There's confusion, and yet in the center of it all is Jesus, the source of blessing to the world, to a dark world that has been living without God. And so Jesus enters this world. I just want to tell you, this sermon is not going to be a 5 points and 3 points and all. I'm just telling the story of Jesus today. I'm just telling his story. John opens the gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. In other words, it's pointing us back and bringing us back to the Jesus that oftentimes people forget about. That Jesus existed before the baby Jesus was born. Before we saw flesh and blood in our hands, Jesus continued to exist as Logos. He continues. He's the Word. He's the Word. He's in prophesied, he's a son of man. We see different designations, but Jesus has always existed. That's what makes him God. That's what makes him different than you and I in the flesh. And this is God that we've talked about is in Emmanuel that steps into this flesh to walk beside us. It says, John says, in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. A holy God in his holy place steps into an unholy world already broken by sin. Already broken by sin. He steps to walk among us. Not a king that's on his throne that dictates and all of that. No, a king that wants to be amongst his people. A king that wants to feel what they feel. That wants to associate with them. That wants to identify with their struggles. And he did just that. Tempted in all points. Jesus steps into the darkness. It says that in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. But before we talk about the light, I want us to talk about the reality of the darkness. The darkness that's here. I don't think I have to convince you of the darkness of this world. Anger, murder, rage, selfishness, lying, stealing, cheating. I just made up a new word. And we can, the list goes on and on and on and on. I'm amazed sometimes as I look at the news stories and my heart breaks and sometimes I cry over stories of looking at how humans treat humans or mistreat humans. And to this broken world, this evil world, this world that's filled with so much hate. And don't get me wrong, there's so much love. But let's not forget the darkness that was truly here and is truly here. I remember when I was in the Navy, they would before we would go into a port, they would tell us all, you know, about the area. Here are the customs and manners that you need to be reminded of. You know, in some places, going like this to us is hello, and to them it means something completely different, right? So you had to kind of understand a little bit about the culture where you are. And then one of the biggest things that they would tell us, you know, Navy, we have kind of the sailors kind of have a bad reputation of going into towns and taking them over, partying, right? All right, and some of y'all know that. Okay, anyway, this group over here knows that. So they would tell us, these are the areas to stay away from. Red light district, right? And of course, we all said, yeah, that's exactly where we're going to stay away from, right? But why? Why? This is the area where there's more danger, where it's more dangerous, where your life could be taken, where the rules sometimes are not followed the way they are on the other side. So be careful in this area. And I want to let you know that the Lord stepped out into the red district. He steps into the darkness. He didn't stay around the comfortable. He went to people that ultimately strung him up on the cross, drove nails in his hands and nails in his feet, put a crown over his, they crucified him. That's the world that he entered into, understanding, as we were talking about in the Bible class, that he came to go to the cradle, to the cross. He understood his mission, why he came. And so he steps out of the comfortable into the uncomfortable. Why? Well, we also dealt with, y'all need to be in Bible study, y'all. Amen. We dealt with this in Bible study. Why? He came because there was a solution that only he could bring. Only he could bring. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 tells us that sin has come in and separated and put a wall up between us and God. This wall is up so high. When did this sin come in? When Adam and Eve first sinned and ushered that in, you saw a change in the relationship. You saw a change in the relationship between Adam and Eve when sin came in. They were naked and unashamed. And all of a sudden, when sin comes in, he's hiding. Adam's hiding. He's trying to cover his nakedness. He understands shame now. There's been a division. There's been a purpose. Before, they talk freely with God, and now all of a sudden, God's, where you at? Adam, where are you? Adam's hiding and cowering over. There's something different that changed, and it was sin. And so we got to deal with this problem. We got to deal with this divider. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Ultimately, this is what its payout is. It's going to pay out in physical death. Obviously, you know, when the body and the soul separate, but there's also that spiritual death. The spiritual death is when we are disconnected with our relationship with God, when we have not yet been reconciled, when that wall of sin is still up and blocking our access to salvation that comes through a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And guess what? In order for us, you know what walls do? Walls separate. And in order for us to get reconnected, that wall has to come down. Well, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm coming down to bust down that wall. Hello, somebody. I'm coming down to destroy it. And guess what? Jesus was the only one able to do it. The only one capable, the only one qualified to be able to do it. My righteousness couldn't do it. I can't outwork God and make sure that I've cleaned myself up so good that all of a sudden now I'm presentable to God. No, because our very best, he says, filthy rags. But Jesus steps into the darkness to do what only he could do. And then it says that in verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into this world. He didn't avoid the red light district. He walked straight into it. He talked with people that most people said he shouldn't talk to. He touched people that most people said he shouldn't touch. He transformed lives and interacted with people that many of the religious society was like, well, why are you with them? Why are you with those sinners and lepers and prostitutes? Why are you associating with Gentiles? Why are you? Because Jesus came to be a savior, listen, to the world. Oh, that didn't really hit you. That means to every single person. It doesn't matter if you're a king or you don't, you've been unemployed for 30 years because you just can't get up and do anything at all. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor, if you're black or if you're white, if you're Hispanic. He came to be a savior for the world. You know, I think that's why it's probably good we don't have a real depiction of Jesus. And listen, that Italian person, whoever it is that we keep looking at, that's not Jesus. Then I see people that go to the other extreme. So we got white Jesus, so then we have to have black Jesus. And then we got to have an Asian Jesus. And then we got to have a Hispanic Jesus. And every depiction of Jesus is like them. But I kind of like that. If we put them all together. Because that's what Jesus is supposed to be. He's a savior for all. I should be able to see myself in him and him in me. Why? For all, but all of us. He's not white. He's not black. I don't know who's black, white, only Asian. I don't know how you mix it all together, but that's what he is. He comes to identify with us and step into our world and associate with us. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, how much you have, or how much you don't have. He'll be your God. He's been a God to David, who was a king, and then to Lazarus, that the poor man that was begging there at the rich man's gate. He was a king. He was the Lord and Savior to him as well. God's a God that comes for all. And here's the thing. Jesus knew that the darkness will cost him. You know, sometimes when you recognize the price that has to be paid, we were talking about going to visit some family members, and I keep thinking about the price that has to get paid of driving for hours and hours and hours. And sometimes I go, I don't know if I want to do that. We do that for the little things. And yet, Lord understood there was a price that had to be paid, that only he could do it. And it says in Luke 9:51, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, or in some versions says set his face for Jerusalem. He understood where he was going and what he was going to do, and he girded his loins up to go. I'm ready to go. This is my purpose. You remember Peter trying to stop him from his purpose, and do you understand this is the very reason I came? He came to die, but he came to die for us. Hold on, the story's not over. He came to die for us and rise to prove who he is. The resurrection proved Jesus wasn't just a talker. You know, some people just talk, but can't ever back up what they talk. They can't back it up with their walk. They talk. Jesus talk. You destroyed this temple, and in 3 days, raised up. He wasn't talking about the temple. He was talking about his body. Jesus talk. And then walk the walk. And in his resurrection, he proved to the world that everything I said, all the teachings that I taught, that they were inspired from God, that I am who I am, who I said that I am. He proved it. He demonstrated it. Jesus comes in our stead. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. He came to do all of this for us. Let me ask you a question. What are you now willing to do for him? He gave all. Stepped out of comfort. Came to a dark world. Was beaten up to a cross. Why? All of that for you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, all mankind, whoever you are, whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe in who Jesus is? Do you believe what he taught? Have you responded to the things that you believe in your walk? Are you ready to? You know, maybe there's someone here today. We've been talking all month about joy in these unexpected places. I want to give you this great joy. Go down to Acts chapter 8 for a moment. I'm going to be closing up. Somebody actually brought this up in Bible class. Acts chapter 8. I'm going to look at verse number 4. Therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere, preaching the word. And Philip went down to Samaria, preach Christ unto them. And the people of one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they were lame, and they were healed, and there was great joy in the city. But there was a man called Simeon. Go on down to verse. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord said unto Philip, arise and go down toward the south, which is from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and he came, and he read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I, except someone should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up, and he would sit with him. And the place of scripture where he read was this. Let's just kind of set the scene a little bit. Here's Philip being told by the angel to go join himself to someone who is a seeker. Someone coming, this Ethiopian eunuch is a seeker that is now a confused seeker, if I might say. Reading Isaiah the prophet and wondering, who is Isaiah talking about? Prophecy about Jesus. About Jesus' suffering that we've already read. And he's wondering, what is this all about? And so you see a person who's confused, and then you have someone with answers. And I want you to see the one who's joining them together. God is joining those who are confused with those who have answers. This is how I learned. I was confused, and the Lord placed people in my life to be able to help me to get some answers to some things that I had been struggling with and scratching my head for such a long time, trying to make sense. Christianity is so confusing if you don't have the basic understanding and the framework to be able to look at. And because the world is saying so many different things, there's so many different opinions and so many different theologies and views and all of that. And so the beautiful thing about God is God can cut through all of that. Because God isn't concerned with all that. He's concerned with you and me. And so he sees a man, this Ethiopian eunuch, who is confused, riding in his chariot in the desert, coming back from worship. He was a proselyte of Judaism. He's coming back from Jewish worship. And now all of a sudden, as he's reading the scripture, I don't even know what this is talking about. Philip is here to give him some answers. And it says that Philip got up and he took him from where he was speaking in Isaiah. And I want you to understand this, that he's going back and he's talking to him about prophecy. You know, Jesus didn't just show up on the scene. Jesus was prophesied of the old. Jesus was, I mean, even back in Genesis chapter 3, Jesus was already foretold of. And so we talked about that, and we've seen that all through the lineage, that the seed promise would not be thwarted, that the Lord would continue. Jesus would come through that line of David and his kings. And so anyway, he arrives. Mankind has needed a Savior, and Jesus comes to be that very Savior that we needed. He dies. I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I know I said I was closing. I got to finish. 1 Corinthians 15. I just want to give you this real simple. So I need to have a book up here. Hold on. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, which I have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and then after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain even unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. He's pointing Jesus and connecting Jesus back to Old Testament prophecy. He's saying not only am I connecting Jesus to the Old Testament prophecy, but also right now, there were some witnesses right now. First I delivered to you, which I received, Christ died according to scriptures, he was buried, he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present. He's saying, we've got some eyewitnesses right here amongst us. We've got people who have seen and behold this great miracle. We understand the prophecy in connecting Jesus, but not only that, this is the Jesus you know. This is the Jesus many of you have seen. This is the Jesus that some of your family members have talked about because they experienced, or maybe they were in the crowd, or maybe their grandfather was in the crowd and all that. This is a known historical fact. Let me just say it like this. Do you believe? And if you believe, and you connect that this is the Messiah of old, and you're ready to submit to him, to surrender to the King of King and the Lord of Lords, to surrender to the King who has been waiting for his opportunity in heaven to step down into the darkness and into our world and able to bring some order to the chaos that's in our lives. Just like he was in the storm or on the boat with the disciples and all that, and in one moment as they were out there and this great storm came about, and he just said these three words, peace be still. And all of a sudden the storm stopped. And that's what he wants to be in our lives as well. Sometimes, I'm be honest, we talked about this already. Sometimes it's not that he's going to take away the storm. Sometimes his peace isn't, his joy isn't in the fact that he removes the situation from you. But it's found in the reality that he's still right there with you. If you're in his will, he's in your will. He's right beside you. He's walking with you through the struggle. When you get a little weary, you can lean on him. When you get hurt, you can get on your knees and you can pray to him. When you have confusion, you can ask of him. But continue serving him. Continue moving forward with him. Don't throw your hands up in despair and disgust and turn backward. No, you got the good thing already, which keep walking, keep walking. He's going to fight. He's going to fight. He's going to lead us. In the confusion, he'll still lead us. We don't always know where we're going, but if we're following him, we know we're going in the right direction. Maybe there's someone here this morning, you're ready to get on his team, to put him on in baptism, to allow him to cleanse and to wash you. Only what he did qualifies. And so what you need to do is enter into what he did, into his work. And you enter into his work by submitting and surrendering yourself, by saying, I surrender all. And it tells us in Romans 6 that we die, we're buried in the water grave of baptism, and then we rise to walk in newness of life. There's a story being told as we're being baptized, and it's the same story that Jesus did. Jesus died. He was buried in a tomb, and he rose on the third day. We're to die to our sins, be buried in that water grave of baptism, and then rise in newness of life, a newness that he gives us, a recreation that he makes, a reconciliation that he does, a work that he does for us. What do? Surrender, make that decision, sign on that dotted line, and live it out. It's not hard, but I'm going to tell you what, it's harder to walk without God, hello, than it is to walk with him. Maybe this is your opportunity this morning. Will you walk? Come and become a part of God's team. Come and surrender in baptism this morning. If you're ready, the water's ready, everything is ready. If you're ready, won't you come right now? We stand and sing. the song of invitation.